Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to look back on the weekend that was, the opening weekend of full action at the 33rd Olympiad over in Paris. Opening ceremonies on Friday afternoon into the first 2 full days of action in the Olympic Games this summer over in France. All that we saw from Saturday and Sunday, and plenty of recaps to go around to set up a new week. A marquee weekend in Major League Baseball, marquee matchups and series all around the weekend that was in the bigs. One day out, DRS from tomorrow's MLB trade deadline with some moves and maneuvers over the weekend as well. So much to get into here. 3 hours on the Early Line. Training camp updates around the National Football League and some big money being spent at the quarterback position this weekend as well.
Yeah, good times, man. A lot of stuff to update. We're certainly looking forward to doing that, but also new week, new money, as we like to say here on Mondays. At the end of this week, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, we are going to actually watch a preseason NFL football game, which is absolutely fantastic as we show everything moving forward. And the Olympic Games underway, and Team USA looking pretty good right now.
DRS, you are not incorrect. On Thursday evening in Canton, Ohio, it's the Hall of Fame game between the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. Will we see Caleb Williams in action in his first ever NFL preseason game? That remains to be seen. But on August 1st, a month of August that will feature football in the collegiate ranks and, of course, around the NFL preseason as well. Until we get there, an opening weekend of action at the Paris Olympic Games. Team USA men's basketball in its Olympic opener yesterday afternoon against Team Serbia, led by Nikola Jokic. But the Americans were led by the steady veteran presence, once again, of Captain America, the flag bearer, LeBron James, and the easy money sniper. Kevin Durant in action for the first time, even in all 5 games of the exhibition series that KD was unable to play. He makes his debut this summer for the Americans in the Olympic opener, and he was damn near perfect. Team high 23 points, a perfect 8 of 8 from the field, 5 of 5 from three in the opening half, as Team USA dominates Serbia in the opener, 110-84. The United States covering as a 13.5-point favorite. An over of 185 and a hook comes into play on a Sunday in Lille between LeBron James and Team USA against Serbia.
Yeah, and by the way, saying it on Friday, what did we need to see out of Team USA? I said we needed a double-digit win, which probably would be a cover, and just a very strong performance out of the gate. Now I'm satisfied, I'm comfortable, and on the way to gold for me will be the United States. But having said that, looking at the game overall, There were some interesting things that we'll get to a little bit later of who didn't play in that game. Joel Embiid not playing a lot. How does he fit into the starting lineup? But the one thing that we do know is Steve Kerr knows better than your boy Donnie Wrightside, who told you last week, look, if the guy's injured and can't play, what is he actually doing on this basketball team? I think Steve Kerr knew how much gas was in that tank of Kevin Durant. He was sensational in that game. And if you are going to get performances like Kevin Durant coming off the bench looking like that, nobody is touching Team USA. And also, is LeBron James 22 years old? Like, what did I miss? The fountain of youth out here? He looks absolutely flat-out dominant, as good as he has in his career, Ben. Love to see it.
21 points, 9 assists, depending on what box score you saw, either 8 rebounds or 7 boards, but a near triple-double in the opener. Mr. Triple-double on the other side for the Serbians. Nikola Jokic, 20 points, 8 dimes, 5 boards. I think Team USA would take that. We'll talk about Kevin Durant's performance, a team-high 23 points, and who did not record a single minute. That would be Jason Tatum. Plenty more to come around the American Olympic opener in our next segment. Elsewhere around the Olympics, the United States women's national team is back. A dominant 4-1 victory over a very good German side yesterday in their second match of group play in the Olympic Games. What an outing it was for the Americans trying to get back on top of the world. Rafael Nadal already underway in his second match in Olympic tennis, playing Novak Djokovic on the clay on this Monday evening out there at Roland Garros. And despite injuring her leg during warmups, Simone Biles, a team best and world best qualifying score in the all-around for Team USA in its team competition in gymnastics.
Yeah, and we're only getting started here in the Olympics so far, but it certainly is fun to watch. Track and field is going to be on deck, as we know, but just watching Team USA, the ladies out there doing their thing, fantastic stuff. And maybe they showed the way for the men on how to perform here, because men's soccer actually picked up a big dub as well. So here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah. The United States hammering New Zealand on Saturday. Woo-hoo. So much swimming to break down for you. Again, an Olympic in Paris primer a little bit later in this opening hour. Marquee matchups, though, around the weekend in Major League Baseball. We are about 24 hours or so removed from the MLB trade deadline. So those final moves around this weekend to make your team a contender come October. Two teams we expect to be there, the Dodgers and the Astros. Houston playing much better baseball in the last month and a half, nearly sweeping the Dodgers, but LA avoids the three-game sweep yesterday with a 6-2 victory in Houston.
Yeah, Astros, look, coming down the stretch here, you're getting much better baseball out of the Mariners. Maybe we do have an interesting set here throughout the month of August and September coming up in the AOS. But the Dodgers will be fine. Nice win yesterday, 6-2. They'll keep moving on and trying to chase down the struggling Philadelphia Phillies for that top overall seed in the NL.
65 wins, though, for the Phils. Still the best record in three games in front of L.A. in the National League. MLB best for Philadelphia, but a tough weekend against the Cleveland Guardians, the American League's best team. As we go around Major League Baseball, yesterday, Cleveland victorious 4-3, winning the rubber match and the weekend series against Philly on the road in the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, come on, Phillies. You're up 3-0, 2 Schwarber bombs here. You got to hold on for that victory of the Guardians. Every run in that game came off the home run here. The Philadelphia Phillies dropped that game. The Yankees are in town tonight. The Phillies better turn it around quickly here and see if they can get that mojo back.
Stephen Kwan, solo shot in the 7th for Cleveland. That was the game-winning run. A rivalry weekend in the major leagues as well, as we had the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yanks win 8-2 yesterday to take the rubber match and the series against Boston. In Jazz Chisholm's New York debut in pinstripes after being traded for on Saturday from the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, Rodon, 6 1/3 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. If you can get that each and every time he takes the mound, that is going to be a big help to the New York Yankees. Needed that victory last night, got it as they head to Philadelphia. Let's see what the Yankees are. Look, I'm still in that Yankees bandwagon. I'm still keeping hope alive for them.
As you should, DRS, as you should, but still trailing the Orioles by at least a game in the American League East. Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, breaking the news that Chisholm was on his way to the Bronx. The Chicago Cubs, in a weird gray area between a buyer and seller at the deadline, still forecasting the future, acquires one of the best hitters available at the block at the deadline, Isak Paredes from Tampa Bay. He makes his way now to Wrigley Field, the 25-year-old, with 16 home runs this season.
Yeah, first thing he needs to do when he gets to Chicago is say, Isak should not be my name. It's actually Isaac, because I'm just like many people out here over the past couple days finally learning the exact pronunciation of him instead of calling him Isaac all this time long. So maybe in the Windy City and out of the anonymity down in Tampa, we can call him Isak and get to know him now.
No, he's Isak inside Wrigley Field. In the friendly confines, as we go to some NFL news and notes around training camp. Again, a huge payday this weekend for Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa. We'll break down those contracts a little bit later on, but it's not been a good camp for the Cowboys. They have yet to pay Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb, and Sam Williams, an edge rusher, tears his ACL yesterday and over the weekend. He was expected to contribute even more so in that pass rush for Dallas. An Olympic opener for the Americans up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An Olympic opener yesterday for Team USA men's basketball against a couple of familiar faces in the three-time in the last 4 years, NBA MVP Nikola Jokic and the Serbians. DRS, there were some questions, I would say, about Team USA entering the Olympic Games. In their five-game exhibition series to get ready, they struggled at times. They were a perfect 5-0 straight up. But Team USA is in its hunt for a fifth consecutive gold medal. The question is not winning, it is dominance. It is the impressive manner in which they are expected to win by. Well, yesterday, that was on full display against Serbia. 110-84, the United States covering as a 13.5-point favorite in its Olympic opener. An over-under of 185 and a hook. Skies over 110 points, led by LeBron James and Kevin Durant.
Oh, I thought we had some issues early in that game, right? Down 10 points. Uh-oh, game number one. The lights come on brightest. Serbia looks like the better basketball team. And then the United States happened. By the end of the first quarter, which they were down 10 in, they had a five-point lead. Second quarter scored 33 points to extend that lead. And then, boy, did they play some defense, Ben, in that second half. Quarter number three, 16 points for Serbia. Quarter number four, 19 points for Serbia. All I wanted to see was a very good effort, which meant a double-digit victory and a dominating performance. I didn't think I was going to get a 110-84 performance out of Team USA. And LeBron James, who has been fabulous through those international friendlies, continued right where he left off, 9 of 13 from the floor, 21 points, 9 assists. The ball is always in his hands. And also, to have Kevin Durant coming back look like the best scorer in the world that we know he can be, I don't know who's going to stop Team USA. And I understand this. Oh, it's one game and you get this. But when Team USA is firing on all cylinders like that, offensively and defensively, and also, this wasn't a team in Serbia that was, you know, 90 or 100 to 1 to win the Olympics. This was one of the teams that was in the upper crust here that they easily dispatched of. Now, also, it wasn't the knockout stage, I understand. The United States was a heavy favorite over Serbia. They should have won that game, and they did. But I just love the way they went about it. And it wasn't from a start to finish. It was like, hey, you know what? We're not playing all that well. The arena is jumping right now. We're down 10 points. And just hit that gas pedal and take control of those final three quarters was phenomenal to watch for me.
Four games on Saturday that we'll recap for you here slightly in just a moment. Two games yesterday, both in Group C, which with the Americans and the Serbians, South Sudan and Puerto Rico. South Sudan, a big Olympic victory in its opener over the Puerto Ricans. So Serbia is still going to be favored to get out of the group and into the knockout round in this 12-team Olympic field. But the United States yesterday, you could not ask for more. In fact, in two of their five games in the Olympic exhibition series against Canada and Serbia, the two times Team USA covered the number in those exhibition matchups. They covered yesterday in a large way against Serbia, 13.5-point favorite, 26-point victory. By the way, Nikola Jokic had an even plus-minus. Serbia was a minus 26 in the 9 minutes that the Joker did not play. Some great stat research from our very own Joe Friezo. But as we focus on Team USA, Kevin Durant, injured, banged up throughout training camp, had not really practiced, and did not play in any of the five exhibition games in the warm-up series. We questioned what his availability would even be for the Olympics, despite Team USA saying he was rearing and ready to go. And he came out on a barnstorm. 5 of 5 from three in the opening half. A perfect 8 of 8 from the field. He had 21 points at the break. He had a game-high 23 points when all was said and done. And Donnie, you mentioned LeBron James. What an Olympic Games this is going to be for LeBron in the hunt for another gold medal. Has not played in the Olympiad for some time. Was the flag bearer for Team USA in the Olympic opening ceremonies on Friday. On the Seine, in the rain, looking like George Washington crossing the Delaware River. Mm. And then LeBron has backed it up in his performance. 21 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds yesterday, doing it all for Team USA.
Yeah, some are saying right now, if they win the Olympics, Team USA and LeBron James takes on the MVP. That's the final nail in the coffin of when we argue Jordan versus LeBron James. Whoa. Because carrying the flag, carrying the nation on his back, carried Cleveland on his back, carried Los Angeles on his back, carried Miami on his back. I mean, this is impressive to watch you play out. And also, this isn't a guy just say, hey, you know, it's one last go around here for the boys. He looks tremendous on that court. He's not logging 28 minutes and just being in the mix. He is the single guy dominant out there. Give me the basketball. I'm going to do it all here. I'm going to make sure we win this game. But by the way, I do have a quick takeaway from this game on Kevin Durant.
Please.
This game was still in the balance, obviously, in the first quarter and the second quarter. Like, it would be interesting to see what would have happened in that game if Durant just come in and just doesn't go bombs away when Serbia was playing good basketball. Loved what I saw out of Kevin Durant. And again, if you are going to get a Kevin Durant performance like that and anywhere near that performance in the future in the Olympics, good luck stopping this jug. I mean, we're keeping all NBA players from getting in the basketball games and still winning easily out here for Team USA.
Durant is already the most prolific scorer in USA men's basketball Olympic history, or just even anybody in the United States when it comes to Team USA basketball. KD looking for his 4th gold medal would be the first American man to win 4 gold medals. LeBron James in the hunt for gold medal number 3, and they were both sensational in the opener. 4 other players for Team USA scoring in double digits. Jrue Holiday had 15, Devin Booker 12, Steph and Ant with 11. Now, Team USA looked great in the opener. Now -550 to win its 5th consecutive gold medal at the Olympic Games. Canada, a victory, not an easy one, but a victory over Greece on Saturday. Those are the odds. Now let's have the conversation. Part of the social media conjecture of the American opener and the dominance against Serbia was who was not on the floor. Jason Tatum did not record a single minute for Team USA in the opener. What did you make of that, Donnie?
And quite frankly, watching the game, I wasn't really paying attention because stars roll in and out. But till the end of the game, seeing that he didn't play, you figured he had to be a sickness or maybe an ankle injury. But we're getting none of that here. That's embarrassing for him not to get into the game. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes here, but I do want to find out.
Steve Kerr even said after the game, quote, "I'm an idiot for not playing Jason Tatum."
That doesn't make sense.
We'll talk about it a little bit later on. More Olympic opening weekend action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An Olympic opening weekend of action in the Paris Summer Games here in 2024. Team USA, really across the board, not just in men's basketball, off to a great start. Let's look at some of the biggest action of the opening weekend. The United States women's national team on the soccer pitch, Donnie. A lot of questions for the Americans entering this tournament. Even after their Olympic opening victory over Zambia last week, 3-0, expected to beat Zambia and doing exactly that. It was the Spanish side flipping to the favorites to win the women's soccer gold medal at +175. Team USA, who used to run away in international competition in women's soccer, the rest of the world stage had caught up. Bounced from the knockout round for the first time ever last summer in the 2023 World Cup in that women's action, finishing with a bronze medal in the recent Olympic Olympic Games back in 2021 in Tokyo. New head coach for Team USA, and so far, so great for the Americans. A 4-1 decisive and dominant victory over a German side expected to medal as well. Great victory yesterday for the United States women's national team.
Two things I'm taking away from women's soccer right now, Ben. You ready? First one here. We'll get to Team USA in a second. Canada 2, France 1. Canada women's team 2-0. Why? They're flying drones, man. They're cheating. They're getting ahead. That's how you do it, people. Even if your coach fell on the sword and left the actual competition to make sure they had all the information they needed. Now, number two, Team USA. Here's what I get back to, Ben. And I understand the men won, and I love it. You know, patriotic. I want to see them advance. I really do. But USA 4, Germany 1, that would never happen in men's soccer. Like, why can it happen in women's soccer but never in men's soccer? That's just something I'm going to ponder. But Team USA on both sides, making runs here, love to see it right now in soccer. So there you are.
Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal meeting for the 60th time, all time, on the court right now in round number two in men's tennis. Djokovic up early and big. He was a minus 750 favorite entering the match against Rafa. He leads 5-0 in that opening set. You want any takeaway, or should we just keep going to the other Olympic headlines?
Hold on, quick. Go ahead. Yeah. Do we play, like, do you have to win three sets here or two? Like, how do you play it in the Olympics? Is it the same as they play on regular tours, or is it shorter? Like, it's only, like, best, like, the women play, like, best of, you know, first one to two, wins two.
Yeah, is it best of three or best of five?
So it's only best of three.
Okay. Best of three, yeah.
All right, it's a little bit shorter. Well,
so,
I like that.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So Nadal's going to get crushed here. This is, by the way, the record extending 60th all-time meeting on the men's side in the open era between Djokovic, and Nadal. Djokovic and Federer, 50 all-time meetings. Nadal and Federer, 40 all-time meetings. Our tennis aficionado, Joe Friso, really should just write a column for Sports Grid and all your Olympic tennis action. Simone Biles, injured her leg during warm-ups yesterday, still the leading qualifier in the team all-around activities at women's gymnastics. Of course, her first Olympic Games since she really had to withdraw from a few during the Tokyo Olympics a couple of summers ago. Simone Biles is back and primed to win gold once again.
Dominant athlete right there, and I'm looking forward to it as well, because sometimes you do those feats that athletes that can do something that nobody else can do in competition, those are the athletes that you want to watch, and Simone Biles is that athlete. I mean, exciting every single time she gets out there.
Team all around, those events are tomorrow night, I believe, and the qualifying was over the weekend. Individual all around, I believe, is on Thursday. The Americans in the pool, the rivalry with Australia, but in that 100-meter butterfly yesterday in women's action, Tori Husk and Gretchen Walsh. Walsh, who had all three of the fastest times in history, the world record, the Olympic record. Her fellow American, Tori Husk, edges her out for a gold medal. Walsh goes home with the silver. Five swimming finals today as well. And so far, entering Monday, Team USA off to a lead in the overall amount of medals. They have 12. China added three medals early this morning. They now have 9.
Yeah, no surprise here that Team USA certainly is leading the way with medals. We're expecting that to happen. And those medals are going to pile up each and every day in all sorts of sports here. So we're here for it. Team USA, let's get it.
I said DRS as we were given our Olympic in Paris primer. Swimming is my favorite. We had a couple of great races on Saturday. Yesterday in the 400-meter individual medley for the men, the French Michael Phelps, as he is known, Leon Marchand, in front of a crazy crowd there in Paris, taking home gold, the 20-year-old phenom. Now, around the weekend, that was in Major League Baseball. Coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around the weekend, that was in Major League Baseball. Today is Monday. Tomorrow is Tuesday, July 30th, in the MLB trade deadline. We saw some moves around the weekend that we'll break down for you. Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, getting involved in that breaking news aspect. He'll be here tomorrow on deadline day around MLB. Now to the scores and what we saw in the weekend sets all around MLB. A marquee matchup in Houston. A World Series preview, perhaps, with the way the Astros are playing in the last month and a half and where the Dodgers are always expected to be. LA avoids the sweep after dropping the first two in H-Town with a 6-2 victory yesterday in the series finale. Three Dodgers hit home runs. James Outman, Gavin Lux, Teoscar Hernandez, the home run derby king. And the Dodgers get a victory, booked as an underdog, plus 110. DRS, Los Angeles, an underdog in all three games of this weekend series out in Houston. 12 times this year as a dog for the Dodgers, the least amount in all of MLB, and just 4-8 straight up when booked as the underdog side.
Yeah, unnamed pitchers, man. That's what's going to get to you because you're not betting the team itself. You're really betting just on the pitcher on the mound. Do you think they can give you the win on that day or quote-unquote that weekend like we saw with the Dodgers? That's a good win, though, 6-2 overall. And Ryan was on the mound, 5 2/3 innings pitched, only one earned run given up. That's what you need. That's a stopper right there so you can avoid the sweep. And the Dodger bats certainly came alive. Teoscar Hernandez, no surprise, having a fantastic year on the season. Now, the Astros, 55-50 on the season. You can't expect to sweep the Dodgers here and continue to move on.
No.
You're going to lose some of those. And Spencer Arrigetti, just your average pitcher. He was okay. 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs on the day yesterday. Just not enough for the victory. But again, you're going to see teams win, teams lose. The Dodgers are going to be a player and maybe the biggest player, we think, tomorrow at the deadline. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But also the Houston Astros. They're going to be there to the end. They got the pedigree on that team. It's just for somebody else in that division to step up. And maybe it's finally the Mariners. We'll find out. But I like what I'm seeing out of the Houston Astros, something I didn't think a month ago I'd be saying.
Tied atop the American League West, Houston and Seattle, the Mariners doing what you always should win every game you play against the Chicago White Sox. The M's sweeping the White Sox this weekend. Chicago DRS, 14 consecutive defeats. It is their second 14-game losing skid in franchise history. Both of those 14-game losing streaks have happened this season. Ooh. It is bad for the White Sox. River Ryan yesterday for the Dodgers, 5 2/3 in single earned run given up, 8 strikeouts. As Donnie alluded to, 11 innings pitched for Ryan in the last week in his Major League Baseball career. He has only allowed a single earned run. He's been pretty good where the Dodgers have needed him most. So the Dodgers avoid the sweep yesterday. Rubber match in Philadelphia between the Phils and the Guardians. MLB and the NL's best team, that's Philly. The American League's best team, that's Cleveland. The Guardians take a 4-3 victory and the series after winning the rubber match. Stephen Kwan solo shot in the seventh. That was the game-winning home run. But DRS, to your point, the Fightins got off to a great start yesterday to take the weekend set. Schwarber, 2 Schwarber bombs and 3 RBIs. But John Kenzie Noel, a 3-run home run for Cleveland in the fourth inning, ties the game, allowing Kwan to hit that solo home run in the seventh. That was the game-winning run.
Yeah, Noel also had 3 hits in that game, too, so he's been impressive. And Young Sung power hitter there for the Guardians. But the Phillies, you hammered the Guardians on Saturday night. You get up to a 3-0 lead on Sunday. Should be an easy victory, and it just doesn't work out in your favor. And here's the reason why. Kyle Schwarber goes 2-for-4 with 3 RBI and 2 home runs here. Your only RBI is the only guy knocking anybody in. After that, Trey Turner, 0-5. Harper, 0-3. Boehm, 0-2. Castellanos, 0-4. Austin Hayes, you just pick up there, 0-4. I mean, what is the deal with that? Somebody's got to get some base knocks. You can't just live and die by the home run. And keep in mind, did you know, Ben, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, the Philadelphia Phillies did not score a run unless it was off of the home run. You got to manufacture some of these runs, man, to drive some things in. Not happening for the Phillies now. No real sweat at this point because, again, the Mets and the Braves really aren't going to chase down the Phillies. They just have to get out of their own way right now, and maybe it starts tonight against the Yankees.
The Philadelphia Phillies still an 8.5 game lead in the National League East over Atlanta, a 10 game advantage over the New York Mets. The Amazons still very much in that wild card perspective. In fact, we would think at this moment the Braves and New York will be contending for 2 of those 3 National League wild card spots. And the Phils still a 3 game lead over the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. And that is something to pay attention to as we near the end of July, the trade deadline tomorrow into August. August and September, the final 2 months of regular season action in the major leagues. That postseason positioning, trying to win a divisional race, and in the extended postseason format now, trying to take those top two spots to earn an opening round bye directly into the division series. And then we can have the conversation that we have had the past few playoffs in the extended postseason. Rest versus rust and what it all means. At this moment, here we are, more than 24 hours out, just one day away from the MLB trade deadline in 2024. The Dodgers remain the short favorites to win the World Series, pretty much have held steady at a plus 320 price for the past few weeks. The Phillies, plus 460, second best number. The Yankees, third best. The O's with that fourth best price. And the Braves have moved back 13-1. The Houston Astros up there as well. The Braves did win yesterday. We'll talk about the game in the ATL or for Atlanta in just a moment. But Reynaldo Lopez, who has been a revelation for the Braves on the bump this year, MLB best ERA, just over a two number, leaves the game with right forearm tightness after only three innings of work. That is never a good sign. Forearm tightness often means something happened in your elbow. I'll save the speculation there.
And how about this, Ben? Like, when we were going at the break and trying to, like, say, you know what? Who are you going to watch in the second half? What teams to take a look at? What players? My player was Reynaldo Lopez, because I said to myself, yeah, I've watched this guy. I've faded this guy for many parts of his career. I don't understand how he can go from being a terrible pitcher now to a very good pitcher and a Cy Young candidate pitcher. Something has to give. And here we are, what, one or two starts out of the break, and we might be getting shut down for the rest of the season. That would be a devastating blow for the Atlanta Braves, because what were we saying? Well, maybe they'll make some moves at the deadline, but if you get Sale and Lopez pitching like Cy Young pitchers and you get to the playoffs, that's a powerful 1-2 punch that looks like that 1-2 punch might just turn into one singular punch in Chris Sale. That's terrible news for the Atlanta Braves, a guy that they were leaning on saying, hey, man, if you can give us what you got in the first half, we're going to be A-okay. I don't know if that's the case anymore, Ben.
The Braves win the finale yesterday of a four-game extended weekend series against the New York Mets. The Amazons took the first two. The walk-off in the opener on Thursday night at Citi Field that we recap for you here on a Friday. Atlanta answers, taking the final two games in Citi Field. Again, yesterday, an underdog, victorious 9-2. So that's great, but when Reynaldo Lopez exits early, that is not. The Braves still a game and a half lead right now for the top spot in the National League wild card race in front of New York. Sandwiched in between, it's the San Diego Padres, who have won seven of their last 10. The Padres playing some really good baseball as of this moment. The D-backs a half game behind the New York Mets. The St. Louis Cardinals a game back. The Pirates two games back. DRS, there are six teams right now battling for those three National League wild card positions, all separated by just 3.5 games. It's why the trade deadline tomorrow is so fascinating. It's why the final 2 months of the regular season are going to be incredibly contentious races for those wild card spots.
And exactly. The one thing that we've certainly been hanging our hat on right now is that trade down that hits tomorrow. Now, granted, the prices are going up, no doubt about it. It's very expensive to get a pitcher because, as Ben pointed out, when other teams are still in it, you're not more than likely to sell, which may help the teams at the top of the bracket who are not naming themselves the Los Angeles Dodgers. Because what have we been talking about for the past couple weeks? The Dodgers will be different at the deadline. Why? Yes, they're going to get healthy, but also they can afford to go out and get the top flight pitchers. But if those top flight pitchers are going for twice the amount they have in the past, maybe the Dodgers weren't able to get those said pitchers.
More recaps around the weekend in MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Sunday night baseball rubber match in the rivalry renewed between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. Inside Fenway Park this weekend, the Yanks and the Red Sox looking for the third and final game to take the weekend set over their rivals. Dead even pick'em, DRS, minus 108 on the money line for both New York and Boston entering the third and final game of the series. A total of 9. In a high-scoring series, every game, all three featured at least double-digit double-digit runs as the Yankees take the third and final to win the rubber match and the weekend against the Sox 8-2. Carlos Rodon, second great and consistent start of this week. That's a good sign for New York. They get the victory over Boston 8-2 in the finale. Jazz Chisholm making his debut in pinstripes after being acquired over the weekend from Miami.
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm goes 1 of 5. I think they have a stolen base in that game, I think, late in there when he got knocked in the head and then decided to steal a third. But that's a good win for the Yankees, 8-2 overall. And also, so Juan Soto, 0-for-3 in that game, drops down to 306. And most people look at that and say, wow, you're not going to win with many times. But they still had 2 walks in that game. The guy just continues to get on base, even if it's not by base hit there. Aaron Judge just pick up an RBI. But the rest of that lineup doing some damage, because if you're not going to pitch to Soto and Judge here, you better have the guys behind them do some things. And they did that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Wells was decent. Chisholm had the base hit. Torres with 2 RBI yesterday. Down and looking in that list, that's what you needed for the Yankees. We've been saying this time and time again. I don't know if they're going to get any more, you know, moves here at the trade deadline. I think Chisholm was a decent move here, be able to play some center field, speed on the bases, which is something we never talk about the Yankees having too much speed on the bases because they technically don't have any. Now they have a guy at the top of that order. Maybe he can reinvigorate. So all those post-game press conferences, at least answering the question, like, hey, man, always loved Derek Jeter, had him as an owner. I'm happy to be here in New York. We'll see if that turns on the gas, because there was some thought process behind the scenes with Jazz Chisholm. Not an all-in guy, not maybe a team guy. Maybe he buys into the Yankees. Ooh. Now they've gone from one of the worst teams in baseball to one of the best teams in baseball. Sometimes that can give you a little bit of a kick there to get after it. But the Yankees needed that series win because they're going to take on the Phillies tonight, and you just want to see them stabilize themselves. But also, maybe the biggest key contributor yesterday was Carlos Rodon. You're just looking for solid pitching performances out of the guys you expect to get solid pitching performances. Hasn't been that way many times this year for Rodon, but a good start yesterday on Sunday Night Baseball.
Listen, our Craig Mish broke the news that Jazz Chisholm was being traded to the Bronx, debunking the idea that Chisholm is an individualistic and selfish individual on a ball club. 23rd stolen base of the year for Chisholm yesterday in his debut for New York. Aaron Judge, who had a home run and 3 RBIs in each of the first 2 games against the Red Sox this weekend, an RBI to get the scoring started yesterday for New York. They plated 3 runs in the top of the first and never looked back. So the New York Yankees, a game behind the Baltimore Orioles in the American League East. The Yankees still the top team in the American League wildcard race at this moment. Baltimore struggling. Let's call it what it is right now for the Orioles. Unable to take advantage of subpar baseball out of those up in the Bronx. They avoid the sweep yesterday against San Diego at home inside Camden Yards, winning 8-6. They were a -144 home money line favorite. A total of 9.5 screams over. Ryan Mountcastle, 2-for-5 at the dish, 4 RBI. So good. Baltimore avoids the sweep, but the O's have still lost 10 of their last 15. Again, really not able to extend the advantage in the American League East, just a game up on the Yankees at this time.
Yeah, make a move for a starting pitcher here. Like what I see out of the Baltimore Orioles. Still some time left to even improve that team even more to try to stay ahead of the Yankees. But if we are looking at the competition between the two guys yesterday, we probably thought there was going to be some runs scored. XFIP numbers certainly high for Vasquez and also Suarez. But you also had one of those games that sometimes you get a little nervous. 6-0 after the third inning. You could take that deep breath and relax. And before you know it, we're 6-5 here entering into the 8th inning. So at least the Baltimore Orioles didn't collapse from a 6-run lead and were able to win that game. I'm looking forward to see what happens over the next 24 hours before that deadline hits. I'm going to see if the Orioles take another step forward. If they don't, they're as good as advertised. There'll be a player down the stretch, make a deep run in the playoffs. We understand that. But you can do one of those like, ooh, they went from, okay, I think they have a decent chance to maybe the best chance if they pull the right strings on certain pitchers here. We'll see if we find out. But they won yesterday, and that's all that matters, trying to stay with the Yankees here in that race in the AL East.
And the Padres had won 7 straight entering yesterday's finale in the Charm City. San Diego 7-2 since returning from the All-Star break. It's why the Padres are smashed in between the two teams out of the National League East. The Braves, the top spot in the NL wildcard race. San Diego 2nd. The New York Mets, a half-game advantage right now over the D-backs for that 3rd and final spot. We shared what happened yesterday in Citi Field. The Atlanta Braves victorious 9-2 in the finale, but Reynaldo Lopez exits the game after only three innings. Let's go elsewhere around Major League Baseball. DRS, the Rangers enter this weekend winners of five straight. Seven of their last nine, 12 of the last 16. The World Series champs starting to look the ilk of what we saw last October. The Blue Jays, well below 500, sweeping Texas this weekend up in the Great White North.
Yeah, and Barrios with a great pitching performance, something you love to see here because, quite frankly, hasn't worked out all that much in his favor this year. Seven innings pitched and only one earned run, so that's a good start. And you're right about that. Like, I was talking about Fry, like, hey, man, look at this. Couple games back now, you can really smell it for the Rangers, and then they go on the road and against a team that's supposed to be good this year, not great this year in the Toronto Blue Jays, and you get hammered by them. Just goes to happen. Like, they're not a great team, the Rangers. You just can't afford getting swept here. At least keep your foot in the ballgame. I don't know if they can do that. But again, still 60 days left in the season. You win the next series, all is forgotten. Just not a great look for the Rangers over the weekend.
No, not at all. But still, there is a chance in the American League West. We shared the Seattle Mariners getting back into the win column. When you play the Chicago White Sox, you must beat the Chicago White Sox. True. This is something to monitor down the stretch. How many teams in the American League Central or elsewhere around the AL or in MLB are playing the Sox down the stretch, who have now lost 14 consecutive games for the second time this season? That's both of the times the White Sox have had a 14-game losing skid in franchise history. The Twins take two of three against the Tigers. They're in that second wild card spot in the American League. The Cubbies winning the final two games of their weekend set against the Royals. They are in this weird gray area, but they made that trade for Isak Paredes from the Tampa Bay Rays. Plenty more as we'll talk about the trade deadline approaching in MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tomorrow, July 30th, a Tuesday, the Major League Baseball trade deadline in 2024. Not many moves made late last week. Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, saying he wasn't even hearing all that much scuttlebutt around the bigs. Well, this weekend, we did see a flurry, including one that our very own MLB insider, Craig Mish, broke. That was Jazz Chisholm Jr. being traded from the Marlins to the New York Yankees. He made his debut in pinstripes, although I guess it was the gray road uniform yesterday inside Fenway Park. The big move of yesterday, the Chicago Cubs acquiring Isak Paredes from the Tampa Bay Rays. There was an interesting moment, a heartfelt moment of Christopher Morel, who was dealt in the deal back to Tampa, saying goodbye mid-game in the series finale for the Cubbies yesterday on the road in Kauffman against the Royals. In the dugout in the middle of the game, it's the reality of life in Major League Baseball around the trade deadline.
Yep, on the move, and specifically with teams that are in that no man's land, which maybe you take a look at Tampa Bay. But the interesting one here of that move, it wasn't that Tampa Bay moved on from Paredes. Like, they tend to do that and say, we have somebody in the background that can actually be better than that person. But also, you're looking from a Cubs perspective, we're led to believe that they're just going to be straight-up sellers, and they go and get one of the better bats at the deadline. Sort of a head-scratching move at this point. But if you are the Cubs fans, like, at least it gives you something to get excited about, because there's nothing worse than your team is like, hey, you know what? I think we might be able to make a run to the wild card, and the front office goes, yeah, we're not making any run anywhere at this point. We're selling at the deadline. But now you actually get a bat. I'm interested to see the rest of these 24 hours if the Cubs make more moves in a positive and or negative direction, because there have been times that some teams are buyers and sellers at the deadline. We'll see if the Cubs are one of those.
So when you look at Chicago right now, they're still five games below 500, despite winning the weekend against Kansas City, 51-56, five games out of that third and final National League wild card race, with so many teams jam-packed in front of the Cubbies at this moment. As our producer Joe Friso shared with us during the commercial break, Paredes has 3 years under team control remaining on his deal, so a move for the future for the Cubbies, even if this year does not pan out for the Cubs in terms of playoff contention. What's intriguing about the Rays, a playoff staple in the American League over the last half decade, it seems as though they are sellers at the deadline. Isak Paredes, Delta Chicago, Jason Adam, dealt to San Diego, and Zach Eflin adds to the rotation in Baltimore. The Rays saying bye-bye to everybody.
They are, which is very interesting. And you know, this goes a little bit deeper in Tampa, because if you look at the deadline right now, they're three games back of the wild card. They're in it. There's 60 days left in the season plus, and they're giving up here. So this is just, and again, it's, I know it's not on the field, but they want that new stadium in Tampa to build it here. Why would the fans ever come? Like, the time now to buy, like, you take a look at Kansas City, right? Bobby Witt Jr., they say, you know what, we're going to invest. We want a new stadium. We want to show the people of Kansas City. We're actually going to be serious. If you get us a new stadium, we'll spend more money. Here's that good, you know, gesture. We're going to pay Bobby Witt $300 million or whatever it is here. This is how invested we are. Get us a new stadium. We'll be able to keep these players here. But Tampa's like, hey, you know what? I don't know if we're going to get a stadium or not. Maybe we do. Maybe we'll keep selling it. The fans don't want to see that. Same thing that you get in Miami. You, hey, build a brand new stadium. They'll come out and watch it. No, you want a brand new stadium with some really good players in that stadium to go along with it. So it's kind of interesting how Tampa's playing this year. But three games back, you're like, nah, we're out at this point. Just kind of odd.
Yeah. Two games above 500, the Rays have made the postseason in the American League five consecutive years. They have had a winning record for six straight. They are on pace, of course, to have a winning record above 500 at this moment. Intriguing, to say the least. The Mets acquiring one of the best bats in the National League the last month and a half. Jesse Winker, veteran outfielder who's having a great year with the Nationals, at least a great season since the end of May, now makes his way to New York. The Phillies getting Carlos Estevez from the Angels as well. Jazz Chisholm, a trade piece now in New York. A big personality who did not pan out for the Fish. The Marlins sending a guy that we saw providing some speed to the base paths for New York. A stolen base yesterday, the 23rd of this season, for Chisholm in his first game for New York against the Red Sox yesterday at Fenway. Does the acquisition of Jazz Chisholm, DRS, change your evaluation on New York's ceiling this year at all?
No, it doesn't change it at all. I was looking more from like that pitching end and or maybe like a big bopper in the lineup. But I don't mind it, because anytime you get the Yankees some speed on the base pass, I think it's going to help. Also, by the way, the Mets acquisition of Jesse Winker, I think, is a very shrewd move there. It's a lot of really good bettable players in that Mets lineup on a day-to-day basis for RBI. And also, the Phillies, they told you they were going to get a high-leverage closer. They went out and executed that. And at this deadline, apparently, where things are so expensive, the Phillies did spend a pretty good price to get Estevez. He really should help out.
Speaking of prices, quarterback contracts. When hour two starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.